Hey, welcome to New River Church's podcast. We're really glad you decided to join us today, and we hope that today's message encourages you and lifts you up. If you're looking for some more information about New River Church, just check us out at newriverchurch.org. My grandfather was a tinkerer, kind of a professional tinkerer. If you're old enough to remember the show Sanford and Son, that was my grandfather. He was a painter by trade. That was his career. But yet at nighttime, he would take his pickup truck, go to the dump, and literally sift through people's garbage. And he found all kinds of gold in there. And he was super handy, just very creative and could do anything really with his hands. And he had severe arthritis in the time that I remember him as a kid. So even with crippled hands, his handiwork was amazing. And my grandfather, he made a couple of boats out of garbage that he found. I have one in our house right now. It's a beautiful boat. It actually worked, floated. He put a motor in it. It's like a toy boat, you understand, not a full-size real boat, but a couple of toy boats out of garbage. He made lamps. He made toys. He made a lamp out of a beer keg one time, and I had it. I used it, and then I took it to college, and of course, that was cool in college, and then we got married, and my wife didn't think that fit with our decor, so we don't have that lamp anymore, but I thought it was a cool lamp. So, but that's the kind of man my grandfather was, and I think that's super cool that he was able to take something that would otherwise be trash and discarded and repurpose it. And he was able to give fresh life to things. And I just see in that, that's the heart of God for us. Because no matter what you've messed yourself up in, God has the ability to actually bring fresh purpose to it and fresh life to it. I want you to hear this today. This might be a message that some of you have to hear today. That, you know, you've come in, maybe you've had decades where you screwed it up. Okay, a few rough decades. Listen, that does not have to define the rest of your life. That the best is yet to come, that in Jesus all things are made new. And he's able to take the messes and he's able to make a message. And he's able to take the trash and make it a treasure. And Jesus actually can repurpose all of that in your life. Do you believe that? That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. In the book of 1 Timothy, we read Paul's testimony, and I need to get my glasses over here. I'm going to be blind without them. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul's testimony. This is what Paul said about himself. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though, love that. Look at those two words. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I'm thinking you don't need to say that you were violent if you said you were a blasphemer and persecutor, but that's Paul. I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. I was shown mercy. Oh, thank God for his mercy, huh? Amen? I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. See the Apostle Paul? You see his testimony? This was me, but now, thank Jesus, this is me. I was this way, violent, blasphemer, persecutor. And then Jesus came in and changed all of that and redirected, repurposed my entire life. That's you. I want you to hear that this morning. Jesus can do that in your life and mine. A lot of people these days are very confused about their purpose and their why they're here, very confused about their identity and who they are. And I believe that this series that we're beginning as a church these next couple of months is going to be absolutely critical in your life and mine, because we don't have to be confused about who God has made us and what God's doing in our lives. You can know it 100%. And I want you to know it. because I want you to have the confidence, the vision, the sense of purpose that comes with that, the joy that comes with that, with knowing I am living out the purpose that the Creator made me with. And nothing's more satisfying than that on this planet. This morning, I happen to believe this message is probably the most important of the whole series, because this message, we're laying the footings for the rest of it. This message is, why are you here? This gives the reason for all of that. Why are you here? And I'll be honest with you, it's really a trick question. It's two questions in one. The first question is, why are you here? And the second question is, why are you here? So we're going to answer the first question first. Why are you here? And that begins in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. It begins actually in the very heart of God, the mind of God. Do you know that you began as an idea? You were a dream on the heart of God. Yes, it's true. You can say this of yourself, that you are a dream come true. That God saw you before the very beginning of time, and He conceived of you then, and He began to get excited about you then. And here's what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 tells us, that in love, He predestined you for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. God, in love, predestined you. He predestined you. What that means is this, that there's a purpose. That there's actually a plan here. There's a predestined. And it also means that you're heading somewhere. It's a destiny. It's a predestination. So your life is going somewhere. Where's it going? Well, you've been predestined to be adopted into sonship. You're going into relationship. You belong, my friend. This is where you belong. You belong with the One who made you. You belong in His family. Can I tell you that nothing in your life will be right until you're right with God? And a lot of people try to make their lives right in dozens of other ways. You think, you know, if I just dump my husband, well, then it'll be right. If I just get a new wife, well, then it'll be right. If I just get a new job, then it'll be right. Find a new church, then it'll be right. If I just go to the gym, then it'll be right. We find all kinds of ways to try to make it right. And let me tell you something, none of that is going to fulfill. Why? Because you weren't made for any of that. You were made to be in God's family. And until you discover home, where home is, you're never going to feel home. Never. Because you were predestined. God dreamed of you, thought of you, looked forward to you, planned for you to be a part of His family. Now, let me clarify something. You haven't always existed. Only God has that quality. So God is eternal. That's the theological word that we use for God. He's eternal. That means He always was and always will be. God never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. He's eternal. You and I are not eternal. We are not eternal beings. We're everlasting beings. That means we had a beginning and we have no ending. Does this make sense? God is eternal. But in eternity, God knew you were coming. And He saw you long before you were here. And He dreamed of you, and He schemed for you, and He planned for you, and He looked forward to you. And that tells us this, that there was nobody more excited on the day that you were born than God, because nobody longer for you to be born than God did. And try to wrap your mind around this. God has loved you since before time began. So God loved you before there was a you to love. This is all packed in this little word, predestined. In love, he predestined you for adoption to sonship. See, this, my friend, is where you began. And in the very heart of God, you are a concept dreamed up, thought up by the creator of the universe. That's where you started. Now, that tells us where we began, but it doesn't really tell us why. Why are you here? That's the question that we're trying to answer this morning. Why are you here? And a lot of people have come up with goofy answers to that question. Some people say, oh, well, because God wanted another angel, that's why he made you. And, you know, and that's a nice thought. Hey, nothing against you calling me an angel. That really feels nice. I feel warm and fuzzy. I appreciate the sentiment. But truthfully, you understand you're not an angel. And you understand that in the divine order of things, you actually are above them. That you're made in the image of God and they are not. And that you have a body and they do not. There are many differences between you and angels. So, yeah, thanks for the warm, fuzzy thought, but God didn't make you because he wanted another angel. Some people think, well, God made you because God loves, and in order for God to love, he has to have something or someone to love, so he created us in order to love us. And hey, true, God is he is love, but you understand God doesn't need something to love in order to be love. He is love. And to suggest that God needs something, well, that's not right either. Because God is self-existent. That's one of the qualities of God. You and I are not. You and I depend on many things to live. I need light to live, love to live, water, food, shelter. We need these things to live. You understand God does not need anything to exist. He is what we call self-existent. So God doesn't need you to love in order to be love. He's completely self-contained. So it's a nice thought, but not really true. Some people think, well, God, God made a big universe and he's got a lot to do, so he needed helpers and he made us to help out, rule the universe, and this is great. And that kind of goes back to the self-existence, doesn't it? He doesn't, matter of fact, you could probably argue he runs the universe a lot better without us. I'm pretty sure we make his job harder, not easier. So I don't think he created you and me to help run the universe. You walking with this? In fact, I would like to say it this way. God didn't create you to get work done. God created work to get you done. God created work for your benefit, not his. Work is one of the ways that God gives you dignity, me dignity. Work is about developing your value as a person, your sense of dignity as a human being. So work is a gift from God, but it's not because he needs us to get it done. He gives it to us. So we're still left with the question, well, then why did God make us? Why are you here? And I think the answer to that question is found in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Is it possible that God made us simply because? I think that's the answer. It sounds very simplistic. I know it. It doesn't sound very smart, but it kind of is the answer, I think. That God made us just because he wanted to. That's kind of what Revelation 4:11 says. Look at what it says. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive honor and glory and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. By your will they were created. Doesn't that suggest that God made us just because he wanted to? He's a creator. He's creative. It's part of how he is. And he made us because he wanted to. And of course, God doesn't do anything outside of his character. God is never inconsistent with who he is. You and I are inconsistent all the time. We're constantly up and down. But God never does anything that's inconsistent with his character. And so God is love, and so of course he's going to create us in love and with love in mind, and to love, it's a reflection of who he is. But that wouldn't be the reason why he made us. That just tells us, it goes in the soup, I suppose, and how God would have done what he did. He made us simply because he wanted to. Now, some of you theologians are really smart, and I love that. You're Reformed, and you're saying, oh, no, wait a second. No, Rouse. The Bible says very clear, and the Westminster Catechism says very clear, that we were made for the glory of God. And you want to cite Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. You say, see, right there in the Bible, it says it. Everyone who's called by my name, God says, whom I created, what? For my glory, whom I formed and made. So right there, Rouse, you're wrong. Right there it says, God created us for his glory. You're right, I can't deny that. But what if this is not telling you the reason why God made you? What if it's more telling you the purpose for which God made you? What if this defines your purpose and not God's motive? That's what I'm saying. In other words, you got a Phillips head screwdriver? It's designed for a Phillips head screw. They go together. So made for the screw. Phillips head screwdrivers don't have a lot of usage. I mean, I guess you can, not much else you can do with a Phillips head screwdriver except drive in a Phillips head screw. Tracking with that? It's made for this purpose. God made you for his glory. God made you to fit with him. See, we glorify God for our benefit, not his. God doesn't need you to prove his glory. Remember, he's self-existent. He already has it. It's to your benefit and mine that we acknowledge his glory. That's like saying, Jesus, you're the center of it all. You're the hub. You're the glue that holds all of this together. That's bringing glory to God. It's acknowledging his who he is in life, and until I recognize that he is the center of it all, I'm gonna wobble. So it's to my benefit and yours that I acknowledge God's glory. It doesn't benefit him, it benefits me. Like I'm saying, this statement I propose to you is a statement more of our purpose than it is in God's motive for making us. Why did God make us? He made us because he could. And he wanted to. And as I said a moment ago, nothing he does is inconsistent with his character. So of course he's going to create us with his glory. He's going to create us to fit with him. He's going to create us in love. We're going to be an expression of who he is. You understand that everywhere on your life is the thumbprint of the Creator. We have this little saying about a kid that does something like their mom or dad. They look like their mom or dad. And we say, that kid's a chip off the old. Thank you. Some of you remember that. The kid's a chip off the old block. And we say, oh, he's just like his mom or dad, just like his old man. Do you understand that every human being is a chip off the old block? You know that desire you have for justice? That thing in you that just gets irked when you see injustice. God has that. You know that desire you have for community? How you just feel it, just, man, you love it when you fit, you belong. You know God has that? Community. You know that desire you have for creativity? Whether you're designing the next great masterpiece or it's something as simple as you just adding a dash of something different in your pumpkin pie recipe just to kind of see how it turns out. There's just that thing you have for creativity. You know what that is? God has that. Everywhere you look in your life, there's the thumbprint. You're a chip off the old block. He designed you. He created you to fit with him. And I say, until you're home with him, you're not really home. Until you're right with him, nothing's really right. So why are you here? You're here because the creator of the universe dreamed about you. He saw you. He planned for you. And he was thrilled on the day that you were born. But why are you here? That's the second question. Well, that sort of follows the first one naturally. Because if God's the one that purposed your life, then doesn't it stand to reason God would purpose when and where you end up? If he's the one that saw you and planned for you, then he knew that now and here would be the place that you would be, didn't he? Here's what Scripture tells us. Psalms 139, verses 13 to 16. I love this Scripture verse. It says, "For you, God, created..." Now, just back up. This is a psalm, which means this is somebody's prayer. So you're reading somebody's words as they're expressing them to God. He says, "For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." Oh, I know that full well. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." You see that verse 14? "You knit me together." You catch that? You're not mass-produced. God knit you stitch by careful stitch. Wow. And he's saying, "This is going to be good." I can just picture him looking over at Gabriel. "Hey, Gabe, this is a good one right here. I'm knitting you." He said, "You don't like this, Gabe." And then look at the next one. He goes, "I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." God made you fearfully. God was made you fearfully. Now, God doesn't fear anything. He's not afraid of anything. And yet here it says that God is fearfully making you. It's not a statement that he was afraid of you. God's not afraid of you. God's not intimidated by you. But it does mean that God understood the weight, the gravity, the importance of what he was doing as he knit you together. He made you fearfully. As he stitched you together, piece by piece, his heart's beating, his palms are sweaty. It says, maybe God knows something about you you don't know. There's something awesome about the way that God put you together. You've been made fearfully and wonderfully. And then he says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Oh, man, that's a great statement. You see, God's writing a story, and your life is a chapter in it. "And all the days ordained for you were written in his book." They're all mapped out there. You know, as a pastor, I've had the privilege. It is a privilege, but it's not an easy one, to stand at the graveside with couples who have lost a baby or had a child die. And if you've ever experienced that kind of thing, you know there's no grief like it on the planet in life. And thank the Lord, I've only had to do it a couple of times over my ministry, but had to do it nonetheless. And you know, when you're standing there at the graveside of that little one, with all of the questions and all the emotions that go with it, there really isn't anything you can say to take away that pain. There really isn't. But we do find some pretty good strength and courage in this verse, Psalms 139. "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to me." You know, it doesn't have to be a long story to be a powerful one. In fact, some of the most powerful stories are the shortest ones. And whether this life lasted 10 minutes, 10 days, 10 years, 100 years, it doesn't diminish the value or the impact of it. I mean, yes, it's painful, and I'm not trying to minimize the pain of it. I'm just saying the impact of that life is not diminished by the length of it. We find comfort in the fact that all the days ordained for us are written in his book. Now, some of you read that and you think, well, there you go. Then why do I even bother? If all the days ordained for me are written in his book before one of them came to be, then that must mean I'm not responsible for my life, because see, clearly what will be, God's in charge, he does what he wants. Oh no, oh no. This does not remove your personal responsibility for the choices that you make. All the days ordained for me, you know what that does? It gives purpose to the day. What it says is this. God says, I created this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. God says, I created this day. And this day right here is so infinitely important. I created you to live in it. This day requires someone equally important to live out this important day. It's ordained by God. God says, hey, this day, Sunday, this is the day that I've made. I ordained this day. I created you equal to the task of living this day. You're going to live it? How are you going to live it? Live it for his glory? See? Oh, friends, you grab a hold of this. This puts some purpose. This puts some zip in your step. Because your life counts for something. There's a calling on your life. There's a purpose over your life. There's a destiny over your life. And it's been planned for and prepared for since before the creation of the world. In the heart of God himself, that's where your life originates. And it's awesome. It's breathtaking. Here's what God said about Jeremiah. I love this one. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, look at this. It's stunning. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Read that. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, this is God speaking to Jeremiah. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Isn't that amazing? God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, before your mother even knew that she was pregnant, I knew you. And back then, I already had set you apart, and I already had a calling on your life. I appointed you to the nations. Now, your calling and my calling might be different, probably is different from Jeremiah's, but the same can be said of you. God looks at you, and he says, oh, my friend, before I formed you in the womb, before your mother knew that she was pregnant with you, I knew you. And before then, I set you apart. I had my eye on you, and I've appointed you to something. I've appointed you to it. Do you know what it is? That's what we want to help you find out this season. We're going to discover that. I pray that by Thanksgiving, every one of us can go, oh, yeah, I know what mine is. God appointed me to this. I'm excited for you, my friend, very much. But why would God put you here in this time? Let's look at another scripture verse. What's Psalms? There we go. Acts chapter 17. Why are you here? Let me answer that question now. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he does not live in temples built by hands. He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Remember that earlier point we made? God's self-existent. He doesn't need you, friend. He really doesn't. He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. In a sense, it's kind of very freeing, isn't it, to know that God doesn't need me? Because now it's like if I mess up, I know it doesn't screw up what he's doing, because he really didn't need me to do it in the first place. That really, this is about what he's developing in me and you. Does this make sense? So there's kind of a lot of freedom there for you and me. Isn't that good to know that the weight of the world is not on your shoulders? Hallelujah. Thank you. We would all be in trouble if it was resting on my shoulders. But it's not. So now we're free to be able to discover this thing. So let's keep on reading. From one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Look at that last line. He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. So I get the first part, that God would determine the time set for me. That makes sense, because I know that I was there, but I don't remember being in charge at all on the day that I was conceived. Do you remember that day at all? I don't remember having a vote in that. Like, I just got conceived, and there I am. And same true for you and me. So I get that God chose the when of my life. But this also says that God chooses the exact where. You see that? He determines the exact places where they should live. I don't understand that, because what I don't understand is how God works with my choice, my will, and how his will comes together with my will. Because you say, well, you bought the house you bought. And God says, yep, and I put you there. But I think I bought it. Yes, and he put you there. You know, you say, well, you chose the job that you chose. You went through the interview and the process and all that sort of thing. And so you took the job that you took, yes. And God says, and I put you there. I don't fully understand how my will merges together with God's will. You catch that? But yet God at the same time says, oh, no, I'm giving purpose to where you are. You see, why are you here? In a sense, that's a decision that's now left up to you. How will you influence where God has you? Who you are influences where you are. That's how God designed it. Remember his thumbprint is on you? Remember you're a chip off the old block? And God has influence. And he created you with influence. Jesus said, you're salt, you're light. That means you influence, you flavor, you brighten up the place. That's your divine destiny. That's part of your DNA. So you have influence. So who you are influences where you are. And so you might have bought the house, but God says, okay, great. I put you there for a purpose. Let's go. You might have chosen the job you did, but God says, fantastic. You're my man. You're my woman right there. I got you. He determines the exact place where you are. The Apostle Paul illustrates this for us. And here's I think this is my last scripture. Philippians chapter 1, but you never know, do you? Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, now, remember, Paul's writing from jail. This is where he is. He's in a Roman prison. And they're prisons. You understand, he didn't have HBO and free health care. Like, nobody cared if he died in that prison or not. He was rotting in a Roman prison. And so he's writing these words. This is where he is. And Paul says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Isn't that beautiful? You see who Paul was influenced where Paul was. He's rotting in a Roman prison. And what happens? Well, every one of the guards get to hear about Jesus. And the brothers in the church, they're encouraged to have more courage as they share the word of God more boldly. Who Paul is influenced where Paul is. Paul's convinced that where he is designed by the Lord, and he gives it to him, and he rolls with it. Where you are is designed by the Lord. Gives it to you, roll with it. Let who you are influence where you are. It's part of your divine DNA. You, my friend, are created to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. You set the temperature. You don't read it.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like more encouragement or information about New River Church, check us out at newriverchurch.org.